Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to Daily Drop-In Morning Show with the Teach Better team, where we are live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. But also we appreciate you if you are listening after the fact on Teach Better Talk podcast. We have a whole lot in store today with a brand new guest that you guys are definitely going to want to follow on Instagram because I do. And also we have good news articles. We have a really cool story about a teacher in Las Vegas this morning, and we also have, obviously, our holidays. So feel free to say hello in the comments, participate live with us, or if you're watching this after the fact, we'd love to hear from you. So take a screenshot, go post on Instagram, make sure you tag us. Our handles are on the screen, and let's get into some of the fun. Morning, everyone. It is bright and early here on Daily Drop-In, and we are going to joke because we're saying it's 7 a.m. Eastern, but for me, it's 6 a.m. because I'm in Central Time Zone, and Riss, it is really early for you right now. What time is it?
Yeah, it's about 4.
Oh my gosh. I just feel like you deserve an award, a trophy, like some massive, massive celebration, maybe an all-exclusive paid vacation for coming on the show today. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
No, I'm so honored to be here. Like, I would have come at any time. I'm so honored and humbled for the opportunity. And, you know, I can take a nap later.
It's going to be so much fun. I was so excited when you said yes, because I kind of reached out on a whim. I've been following you on Instagram for a while. I love the work that you do. You're constantly putting out support for teachers. So I'm so excited for the Teach Better community to connect with you. If I assume, you know, if they haven't connected with you yet, maybe I'm really slow to the game and everybody knows everything about you. But in case they don't, would you mind sharing a little bit about what you do in education, kind of all that jazz?
Yeah. So I have been in education for over 20 years. Kind of my story is I started as a tutor at a placement for boys that were called delinquent, who ended up being like my brothers. I had students who didn't know how to read, were 17 years old. I'm like, how does this happen? And, you know, at 20, I was very outraged and figured that I was going to save every single student from falling through the cracks. Did not quite happen that way, but it did light a fire in me that's continued with me through my education journey. So from there, I decided after tutoring, I became a teacher at an independent study school. We had a lot of students who were young moms or just didn't really fit in a traditional school motto. And it was just a really beautiful, beautiful experience, kind of doing school a different way. And then from there, I went to the Peace Corps. I'm kind of like an education nomad a bit. I'm just going from here to there. So I went to the Peace Corps and I was an education volunteer, kind of charged with bringing learner-centered education, trying to combat, corporal punishment, which was fun times. And when I got back, I decided to serve my community. So I actually started teaching at a charter school right across from the housing project that I lived in when I first got to Oakland. Taught there, had always wanted to teach community college, got to teach community college. The last 7 years I've been I was an ELA curriculum director for 5 small schools. And now I'm on my own. I started educating Marissa as a safe space for teachers to grow and develop. I really want to serve teachers so that they can serve their students and communities better. And I think that comes from being authentic, being their most authentic selves, kind of getting back to that reason they became teachers in the first place. And sometimes I think you need to be a little subversive to serve the students when we're in situations and institutions that don't always have the students' best interests in mind. I'm now just kind of starting this new journey and am extremely excited about it.
Holy cow. I had no idea that your background was so diverse with different experiences in education. I think it's so incredible that you've been able to go into each one of these very separate experiences to support education holistically, but support students, support educators. And then now you're still at this point in your career, still striving to share and support and give resources. I mean, that is the epitome of like all-star educator right there. When you're looking at the work you're doing now, do you find that there's one area that you're like, ooh, when I work with a teacher on this specific topic, I see so much change. Like, this is truly where my passion lies.
Yeah. It's hard for me to narrow things down because I love so many things, but the heart of my work lies in literacy work. I am a reading specialist as well. And I've always just loved literature. I have a report card comment that my mom said, or a report card that my mom saved, and the comment from my second grade teacher was, "We love the books Marissa brings in to share with us." And I'm like, and you know, so many years later, I'm still sharing books with people because I really believe in the power of literacy. And you know, literature is based on humanity, so it's just a way that we can connect across difference. We can feel empathy for other experiences. It's just, to me, it's magic. So anything ELA book related, I'm all in.
So cool. Oh, so cool. You know, it's interesting for me. We talk a lot in this network. You know, Teach Better team is truly global. Obviously the primary school districts we work with are in like kind of the North America, US, Canada region. I do have to say, though, I always find it so wonderful when I connect with somebody new that we're able to bring into kind of that Teach Better family. And I don't quite know how we connected on Instagram, because I just feel like sometimes Instagram is a rabbit hole of finding people that are passionate about a topic, and then you follow who they're following, and it just continues and continues. But what's your experience been like on social media, growing your network that way? Obviously, you're very active on Instagram. I don't know if you use other platforms as well. Can you tell me about what that experience has been like?
It's been nice. I'm really trying to take my time and be intentional about how I'm curating the space. I try not to post other people's work unless it's in my story. So everything on my page is generally my content, which means it takes me longer to post than, like, I'm not putting out 4 or 5 posts a day because I just don't have the time for that. But I want what I post to be meaningful. And again, to come from me, like, I love sharing other people's work in my stories. And I make sure that I credit them if it's something original. If it's like a repost of a repost, I don't always take the time to do that. And I, you know, it's been slow, but that's okay. Like, I'm totally okay with taking the time to curate and create a really intentional space to support educators.
I really appreciate that you note that it's feeling slow. I don't feel like it's slow in terms of following you. Since I followed you, I feel like you're constantly popping up on my feed. I'm constantly just like learning so much from you, which I really, really value and appreciate. That's why I love specifically Instagram. Is like, I like to consume on Instagram. Although sharing, I guess, is fun. There's pros and cons, of course, but I will say, I think a lot of people get on social media, they want to connect with other educators. And when you get started, it's you're following. And then it does kind of hit a lull. It feels a little slow. And I think acknowledging that, naming that, knowing that that's a part of the experience, it's not a bad thing. There's still people watching. There's still people gaining value from you. I mean, that's a huge benefit there. So I appreciate that honesty. There absolutely is elements of connecting with people and trying to find time to feel like you're getting what you need out of it. That's tricky.
Yeah.
When it comes to everything education, it's always cool to bring new people on the show because we always get different perspectives, different conversations. It's always good to hear about different people's backstories, all that good stuff. We are going to transition here into our brainstorm bank, which is a segment every single show that we have, where we intentionally ask our community if they need anything and get into kind of the inner workings of our theme every single week, as well as obviously some deep dive conversation into the things that you're most passionate about. So We're going to be right back. All right, friends, good morning. Good morning. It is Thursday, December 2nd, and we have a lot in store for you already. We are going to transition here into our brainstorm bank, which is a specific area where if you have questions, we're here to brainstorm. And Riss and I are not going to promise that we have answers. We are just going to promise that we want to brainstorm with you. And we're actually going to kick it off, not with our theme this week, but actually with a comment that we received in our private Facebook group, which, by the way, friends, if you're not a part of our private Facebook group, that's at teachbettergroup.com. It will redirect you there. It's a Facebook private group, over 6,000 educators in there. And we actually have an exclusive invitation going on for some of you who might be interested in joining our live series in about a month that has to do with mastery learning. So if you're interested in learning more about that, head into the group. But Riss, we got a question, and I thought this would be perfect to discuss on the show. Because as we said, it's not about having the right answer, but about really fostering a community that's willing to brainstorm, regardless of what wacky idea or silly problem you're having. So there was a question that was posted that I know you and I may not be experts in, but if you're up for it, let's discuss it a little bit. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Awesome. So in our private Facebook group, shout out to Jen, who posted this question. It has to do with the fact that she wants to use merge cubes and headsets with her students. She doesn't necessarily say how old her students are, but it kind of goes into about how they're researching what VR headset or content to be looking at. And it looks like they're looking at Expeditions and Merge as options for the content and also the tools and resources. For those of you who may not be familiar with merge cubes or VR, we're talking about virtual reality. You commonly hear like virtual reality partnered with augmented reality. They are very different, but it's this concept of you looking at the space that you're currently in and being able to add things to it using a device or phone. So some of you have seen it in commercials these days where there's headsets on people's heads. They're using their phones on their faces and they are transported into a brand new world. There's some really cool opportunities there. Riss, tell me your experience with VR and AR. Have you seen it before in television commercials? Have you used it? Where has that been for you?
I probably only used it, if I'm thinking correctly, like on Amazon, like placing imaginary objects in my home.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think of that. You're right. That is such a like mainstream thing that Amazon just rolled out. If you're buying a piece of furniture, you can like put it in your room to see the sizing. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. So I'm new to this. I'm really excited though to learn more.
Okay, wait, because I know we're going to brainstorm here and I know neither of us are experts in this recommendation that Jen's looking for, but how cool is that? I didn't even think about the fact that Amazon and other mainstream companies are kind of using VR and AR to kind of help with purchasing. I mean, even IKEA, you can go in and you're looking at a couch on your phone and then it allows you to turn on your camera and it kind of like puts the couch in your house so you can see the sizing, if the color works. It's not perfect if you've ever tried it. It's really not perfect. But the concept is exactly what we're talking about. Good connection there. When I've used this in the past, I've dabbled more with virtual reality, augmented reality. I wish we had somebody here in the comments that could help us. One of them is when it changes the whole environment that you see. So if you've seen in movies before, like Player One, he's literally like transported into a new world. Everything around him looks different versus, I believe, augmented reality. I could be totally wrong. One of them means you're just placing an object in your reality, very similar to the Amazon that we were talking about, where Amazon puts like a piece of furniture in your room. I have really used both. But one of my favorite resources that I used was an app that allowed you to look through your phone to a different world. It felt like a portal that the students could like walk into, but it used both virtual reality and augmented reality, because the app that I used would essentially give you this, like, I mean, truly, it was like a portal. It was a circle that when you were using your camera, you had to find where the portal was in your environment. And then as you walk towards the portal, you could actually walk into the portal and then you were in a completely different space. So some of the places that we went were like deep sea diving or like we were walking on the moon. And it was really interesting because you had students kind of like walking around the hallways, walking around your classroom to like find the portals. It's kind of a cool concept, right?
It's such a cool concept. And you know what? Now I'm thinking about it. It's like Pokemon Go, I think, is augmented reality. So I definitely did that with my kids, my own children. When it was really popular, we walk around and try to find the Pokemon as they were hiding.
Okay. I'm loving these connections, Rose. Can you tell me, I know some people did Pokemon Go a ton, but tell me about which one, Pokemon Go, in case people have not been familiar. So you took your kids out, you had your phones out. I know you're hunting for Pokemon characters. How does that all
work? And then you look on the screen and you're looking like the you're seeing augmented reality, and then you're looking to find them and catch them.
That's so cool.
But it's not a full. Oh, thanks, Elijah.
Yeah, Elijah's helping us out here. He says, I think AR is when you place an item in the room. That's what I thought. Like you're augmenting, you're changing the room you're currently in. VR is when you're transported somewhere else. Elijah, we appreciate your thoughts. I think that's right too. It makes sense with like the augmented reality versus virtual reality. Very cool. So thank you for noting that, Elijah. You get bonus points this morning, Elijah. So with this concept, though, if she's brainstorming tools and resources, while I am not an expert and I have used so many different apps, one of the things she noted was the concept of a merge cube. Riss, have you seen these merge cubes?
No.
Okay. So here's how I'm going to describe it. I'm going to describe it like a two-year-old trying to explain something. So low level here. It is, and I used to have so many of them. It's like a squishy ball that you would throw around the room, except picture it as a square form. And then it has a pattern on each side. I like to describe it as like, it looks like a QR code on each side, essentially. And when you hold it in your hand, it's either a folded up piece of paper that you've created as a merge cube, or I physically had like these squishy balls that truly looked like foam balls, merge cubes. And you'd hold up your phone and it turns the cube into something. So you could hold up like a turtle. You could hold the sun. You could have the solar system in your hand. So what it does is you're using the Merge app. It's reading the code on your cube, and then there's ways that you can manipulate it. And some of the cool parts about it is that because you're holding it, it's a 360 resource now as you're looking through your phone. So there's different games, there's different kind of like pieces you could look at, but because you're physically holding it, there's a lot of like manipulation you can do to this item. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, so awesome.
So cool. So I would say, I think that Jen is on the right track looking at Merge as a resource. Merge as a company, I know, has been developing this for a number of years, even though this is relatively new technology. I say that loosely because education is always behind the times. But this concept of AR and VR in classrooms is about 5 to 10 years into the technology. It's just not mainstreamed yet. So I think Jen turning towards big companies that have been doing this for quite some time, were seen as very progressive about 5 years ago, would be my suggestion, because those are going to be the companies right now that have done the research, have had the pilot groups, have found the issues with the resources, and have probably problem solved a lot of hurdles. So companies like the ones that she named in her post would probably be my recommendation.
So yeah, I think that's a great idea. And as soon as you were talking about like all of these experiences, I was thinking a lot about writing and just how fun that could be, like, you know, teaching the students how to write descriptively about these different spaces and the sights and the sounds and the feelings that they feel. Thinking, I wish I had that back in the day when I was still in the classroom.
Well, and I appreciate this connection, Riss, because I think a lot of people see that type of technology or these types of resources, and they sit back and say, oh, that would only work in a science classroom, or oh, that would only work in a social studies classroom. And what you just connected was, no, you can bring in experiences that may not directly correlate to that specific content area. So for example, like me holding the solar system in my hand using a merge cube, like that may not in theory connect directly to a writing assignment. But now if you can get this technology in students' hands using this as a descriptive writing activity, holy cow, now you've just opened up brand new doors. Or a reading class that might have a theme or a character that really enjoys a specific opportunity that we can use with a merge cube. I think you're totally opening a different perspective on how to bring in new experiences, but still connect it to the standards and core content that we're working towards.
Yeah.
Oh, so fun. Well, shout out to Jen for asking those questions. Please make sure that you're constantly questioning as you continue to be a learner, carrying that teach better mindset, being better every single day. So thank you, Jen, for posting that in our private group. You know, Riss, there's a lot of things that we can talk about today. I know we mentioned that we had a theme this week before we came live of celebration, but I also want to make sure we get to some of the work that you are so committed to. You are continuously talking about, and I know you have a lot going on that you are continuously pushing out to teachers. And that has to do with a concept I never get to learn about, and it has to do with power. Can you tell me about this concept of power and the work that you do in this space?
Yeah, a lot of like my work focuses on creating really great learning environments. And I think a lot of the issues that we come up against with classroom management have to do with the way that we yield power in a classroom. So like currently I'm working on creating a course called Caring Authority in my learning community. And within that course, we're looking at like the different power dynamics. So like power over, power with, power within, which is the power that we all innately have, including our students, right? And then power to, so the power to do things. And thinking about ways in which we can do a lot less power over and a lot more power with, and cultivating power within our students so that they are empowering themselves. So, you know, we don't empower others. They already have power within them. We can just help guide them to accessing and harnessing their power in positive ways. And create environments where they can exercise their power. So so that's what I've been working on, just trying to come up with this thing, because I think it's such an important thing if we're talking about having equitable classroom spaces where our students can really have voice and have agency. And, you know, we can do a lot less policing of their behavior and policing of them because they have the power and they have the potential. So even if they don't quite have the skills yet, you can help them cultivate those skills. And you know, when you deny students power, it comes out. They express their powers in ways that you may not like. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting for me, Riss, because as I was listening to you discuss power, even now, but also off air, we were talking before we came live, this is a concept I never hear people talk about as their passions. And I love that you have taken this very common, relatively overused word of empowerment, and you're actually breaking it down to discuss the how, the what, the when, and the why of ensuring that teachers begin to look at this concept differently. Do you have it's so arbitrary, like three tips or like three go-to statements or food for thoughts that you can share with our community having to do with power? It sounds like you're making, a whole course on it. Sign me up. But what do you feel like are the common misconceptions with this concept, or where do you feel like a teacher needs to begin when making this shift in their mindset?
I think one of the major things is the difference between power and authority. So we all have power. And like I said, that power over is the one we want to divest from. But authority is something that's like granted to you. It's something that's earned. So it's a privilege, right, to have authority in a classroom. And so one of the things I like for teachers to consider is like, how can I yield this authority responsibly? Like, people have given me their like most precious, like precious things ever, their children. They're in my hands. So how can I take care of them? But also like, how can I not have Lord of the Flies going on in my room, right? So So it's about like having a balance there. So you know you have this authority, you've been given it, you've got a teacher credential or you're working on it. The students see you as a guide. So yeah, really thinking to yourself like how are the power dynamics happening in my classroom? Am I the only one who holds power? Am I the only one who sets the agendas? Do I ask my students for input? Are they allowed to help have some control over the space and over what it is that we're doing? So I don't know if I necessarily have tips, but more of like reflecting on really what's happening in your classroom and looking for places where you can do better, right? You can do better. And when students have power, they show you like who they can be. And you just have a lot less power struggles because you're helping them to cultivate that power that they already have within them and to use, and also you're modeling how to use it responsibly. So how are they using it with one another? How are they, powering with one another instead of like, I feel like I need to have power over this, my classmate because of X, Y, and Z. It's kind of more like, hey, we're a community. Look what we can do together.
You
So
know,
that's what I say.
yeah, and it's funny because everything that you're sharing, I think, is also bringing some different perspective to the language. I mean, truly, even just the word power dynamic. When you say, "Hey, what's the power dynamic in your classroom?" In my mind, the only time I've used the term power dynamic is when there is a negative connotation to it, like, "Oh, my classroom, we're having some problems with, the power dynamic." You're now discussing it in a way that actually gives, I was gonna say gives power. That's not what I want to be like, gives value to this concept of people working in a collaborative environment and feeling like they have a voice, feeling like they have opportunities that are before them, and then using the themselves to also bring and gain value in this community, which is a very different perspective. I've never explored this concept. I'm so such a fan. That's so neat.
Okay.
So when you're looking at creating a course, I know that you are constantly sharing. I know like it's so good. What can a teacher expect in this course? Because I know truly, even just learning in this small amount of time that we have together, I would absolutely dive into this concept more. So what are you hoping for from this course? What type of learner, what type of educator do you expect to benefit from this course?
I think any educator who's looking to really stop doing all the heavy lifting, I think we have a lot of exhaustion because teachers are doing too much, because they don't maybe don't have the tools yet, or they haven't like built the trust with their students to let them do the heavy lifting and let them work collaboratively to do the heavy lifting together. So, really, for me, it's about creating this like really thriving classroom community, and I've seen it. Like I've had it in my fourth grade class, my middle school class, my community college classes, and it's the most beautiful thing to actually really be able to be a facilitator in the classroom, not just like the sage on the stage. Like I, there are definitely parts that I hold as an educator, but I want to empower the other people in the room because they come with a bunch of stuff too. Like so much out, and then we don't know what they don't know, and we don't always know what they know. I always tell student t tell teachers that I'm working with about a student that I had who during history class would just be like amazing, and I'd be like, and one day I just was like, Eric, how do you know so much about this stuff? And he was like, I play Assassin's Creed. And I was like, that's so dope. Like, bring it all in, like, help us all out. And it was, it's just like the students aren't just in our class, like our classrooms aren't the only places they're learning. They're getting input from all kinds of places. So, I just love to be like in community, and I learn from them too. So, educating immersive is a play on words because it's really about me learning, me guiding, learning, guiding, learning, guiding.
Completely. And that's honestly a huge element of the Teach Better community. I knew that our community was going to benefit from having you here as a part of Daily Drop-In. But to me, we just created a whole nother connection, a whole nother bridge, because a ton of our Teach Better community are working towards fostering a mastery learning classroom. That's a huge kind of focus that we have on the team. It's a lot of the professional development we get to provide. And when we're talking about mastery learning, it really is transitioning the teacher, teaching the teacher how to step away from being a lecture focused. I'm the smartest person in the room. Let me bestow my information to you. But really, how do we make them a facilitator? And it's interesting, we focus so much more commonly on the instructional practices. Like, how do you foster a classroom that has classroom management and content alignment, da, 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 da. You're really talking about something that has to be layered on top of that to be successful, because you're discussing the climate, the culture, and I love this, the power dynamic between now the teacher choosing to be a facilitator and now the students choosing to have that power and enjoy that power in the classroom of being able to truly like provide for their community. And I think this is so fascinating. I want to encourage everybody in our community to go check out this different concept. We always talk about education as kind of being a deli sandwich, right? You layer all these things on top and you hopefully get what works for your student clientele in that moment. And to me, this is such a perfect overlay on top of so many things that I'm telling our community, you're already doing this. So you definitely want to go layer this piece on top. That's so cool.
Yeah, I like that. Deli.
No, it's interesting. This kind of connects to our theme this week. Every single week we have a different theme, and this theme was focused on celebrating. And our concepts when we were talking about celebrating and this being our theme the first week of December was, can we provide suggestions for the end of the calendar year to make sure that you're setting up your students to be successful for 2022? Can we talk about it now so you can have a few weeks to like get it ready versus talking about it the week of and, you know, then you're scrambling if you want to put together a fun activity. I wonder if some of the work that you're discussing in terms of students identifying and truly understanding the power that they possess, if that's actually a way to end the year strong and come back at the new year even stronger. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Thinking about like celebrating the end of the year for me, and the advice I would give teachers for their classrooms is really to focus on community for these last couple of weeks that you have the students. And also focus on resting and restoring and taking the time. These have been like, we've been through quite a few really difficult years, and you know, and things haven't stopped. So I think that we should take a note from Mother Nature, like during this time, you know, it's getting darker. We are needing more rest. And I think we've been really kind of disconnected from our natural, you know, we have artificial light. We have all these technologies that help us like keep going, producing. And I think that this is a time for us to slow down a little bit. So with the students, you know, as we're ending the year, doing activities like, you know, read alouds, getting cozy in those pajamas, having them, you know, tell stories. I mean, if you are not mandated to give homework, like give the parents a break. Like, this is a time to rest and be with family. And if you do have to send stuff home, have it be stuff that's like really collaborative. So have the students learn more about who they are, where they're from, where their ancestors are from, traditions and things like that. So like really thinking about like what do we really need more of during this time? So I don't know that you need more worksheets. I mean, I'm sure the district folks will be mad at me. I was a district folk too, but I don't know how much more data we need, how much more evidence we need, but I do know that we need, you know, connection, and we need empathy, and we need time to rest, and we need time to connect. So Those are the things that I would really be trying to focus on at the end of the school year. It's not a waste. It's never a waste to be building, you know, these social emotional muscles with our students. And again, like, it helps build this community where the students feel empowered and that they're responsible for one another and to one another. And it just makes everything else much, everything easier.
Yeah.
So that's where I am. It's less activities, more connection.
Well, and I think that you're focusing on something that teachers at the beginning of the year feel confident that they need to focus on, right? Like, I have to learn all my students' names. I have to get to know them as people. And then we get in a few weeks to the school year and we don't stop that, but it goes on the back burner. So many educators just, you know, we have to get into the work that we also have to be responsible for. Your focus on focusing on community and connections. Yeah, I love even you brought up like students learning about their ancestry and different cultures. This is such a beautiful time to do that, really ending the year strong, you know, becoming, identifying who you are and who you want to become. These are beautiful overarching concepts that you can now go find little activities to build into your classroom and think about how much stronger of a community, how much stronger of an individual learner you're going to be fostering to kick off the year in 2022 when they come back and they say, I really feel more confident about who I am. I feel so confident with the people that I'm around. I mean, talk about power, right? That's really incredible.
Yeah, and it can be fun and still connected to the standards. Like, I mean, I've had friends who've done like soundtrack of my life projects, you know, like a family soundtrack, like about like who we are as a family, vision boarding, you know, and I always tell my students kind of the thing under the thing. So like, if I'm asking my students to write, I'm really asking them to communicate effectively. So when we're talking about writing, it's not like, I just want you to follow all these rules. It's like, you have something really important to say, and I want to make sure that the end user really gets what you're wanting to say, because you're not going to be able to sit next to them and explain the little nuances. You have this shot to really communicate effectively. So again, I think that there are ways that we can tie in the standards to these activities that feel really good, where we're really fostering creativity and again, connection, which is just, we need it so much right now.
We do. Ah, so good. So good, Riss. I have loved learning about this, and I can only imagine what more I'm going to learn when I continue to not only engage with the content that you push out, but all the work that you continue to do and share. It's so powerful. We're in transition here into actually a beautiful celebration that we're going to have in our good news story, some holidays. There's some good stuff we still have coming up. So we'll be right back. We've been talking a ton about community connections and this concept of power. We're really, really happy for those of you that are joining us live. Thank you for being here. Or if you're listening to this after the fact, I am so appreciative that you choose to join our daily drop-in morning show. Riss, we are in a segment that we do every single day where we talk about goofy holidays that exist every single year. These can be holidays that you use to foster connections with colleagues as you're walking through the hallways, or something that you can bring to your students. And we also have a big, big, big celebration of a good news article today of a fellow teacher in Las Vegas. So to start us off, Riss, how do you feel about celebrating a holiday? Are you a holiday lover? What's the deal?
I am a holiday lover, although more recently I've been really just more intentional about how I'm celebrating certain holidays. So I'm trying to move away from being more capitalist in our celebrations and more connected.
I feel like there's a theme arising. But that's good. I mean, truly, some of the holidays we talk about are so wacky, but if nothing else, it gives us something to smile about, something to talk about, and allows us, again, to connect with others. So here are the goofy holidays for today. It is National Mutt Day. So for those of you who have a dog at home that has some mutt in them, I always describe my two dogs as mutts. I don't know if you have animals at home, Riss, but I always
describe a mutt.
Do you have a mutt?
I'm going to celebrate him today. His name is Loki.
Ooh, Loki. What a fun name. I know people always joke like, oh, what are your dogs? I'm like, I don't know. They're mutts. Like, they're a mix of everything, I'm sure. So shout out to Harvey and Alfred and Loki for the Mutt Day. That'll be funny. I always believe that anytime there's a dog holiday, you should be sharing photos of your dog. So I will be looking on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at our Teach Better family posting about their mutts today. It is also Business of Popping Corn Day. I don't know what that means, but definitely go get some popcorn today because it feels like it might be a requirement. It's also National Fritters Day for those of you who like cooking a good fritter. Why not? I think any time that we can have great food, sign me up. Right. In addition to all these goofy holidays, as you all know, it is still a holiday in not only a very incredible Indian culture, but also the Jewish culture is celebrating some religious holidays today. So continue to have that in your thoughts as we continue to connect with people that are celebrating and acknowledging different things around the world and continue to be a learner as we do that. We have a wonderful article today about a teacher that it just wouldn't have done it justice if I talked about it. And so what we're going to try and do, Riss, cross your fingers for me. We're going to try and play a little video, just a quick news segment on this special thing, this special celebration I saw all over social media. So I'm going to see if I can share this screen. Cross your fingers. All right. And let's try out this news article. Let's see how this works.
Announced 2021's People of the Year today.
This list includes country music legend Dolly Parton, actress Sandra Oh, Olympic gold medalist Simone Biles, and a Las Vegas teacher. This is Juliana Uturbe's People magazine cover. She is the 2021 National Teacher of the Year, and she's part of the nation's Teachers People magazine honoring this year. Uturbe is a special education teacher at Kermit R. Booker Elementary. She's the first teacher in Nevada awarded the honor of National Teacher of the Year and the first Latina to win since 2005. She and her family immigrated to the U.S. from Colombia when she was young.
And Governor Sisolak tweeted this out, saying Nevada is home to the best educators in the nation, including our own Juliana Uturbe, the 2021 National Teacher of the Year. So, Juliana, your dedication to your students and your craft are an inspiration. On behalf of the Silver State, thank you.
So exciting, right? People,
that's amazing. Congratulations.
I want to see this cover again. I'm going to see if I can pull that up. I love this beautiful cover featuring, gosh, talk about power. That is a powerful photo right there. So exciting.
Right. Oh my God, I have to go pick up a copy and support. I mean, teachers should be on the covers of magazines. They are truly heroes, especially during this time. Like, I just have nothing but honor and respect and love for teachers. Yeah, I love them.
So shout out to Juliana and the amazing things that she continues to do as a Las Vegas teacher. I believe she's in Clark County in the Las Vegas area. So definitely go check her out. I can only imagine the celebration she has of this, but I'd love to see the world, our community celebrating an educator and all the educators out there. I'm excited to learn more about her. But again, I wanted to make sure our community was aware of this big moment, not only for somebody that obviously is in our community, right? A fellow educator, but also an opportunity that we are seeing in the world of news networks like the one we just shared, Fox 5 in Las Vegas, but then also others acknowledging the power, the relevance, the importance of a teacher. We want to continue that story going. And remember, if you're an educator out there, share your story so that others can celebrate with you. So very, very cool. Good news story there, Riss.
Yeah, that was awesome. Oh, I feel so happy.
I want to make sure our community connects with you. And I know many people are going to watch this video live and be able to see that your Instagram handle is on the screen. However, for those people that might be listening on Teach Better Talk podcast, or even so if they have their phone propped up or their computer propped up, but they're getting ready for their day and they're not necessarily looking at the screen, Would you mind sharing how people can stay connected to you?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm at Educating Marissa, and that's Marissa with two S's and one R. There's so many variations to this name. And also have Facebook, you know, / Educating Marissa. I'm pretty much Educating Marissa everywhere. I have a website, which I'd love for you to come and hang out with me, maybe join my community. I just love community. I love to be with other educators, connecting, learning, growing, evolving. So yeah, it's www.educatingmarissa.com. Yeah, I mean, those are the places that you'll find me, and I really just can't wait to meet you. I really believe in connection for the 100th time, but it's really like, for me, like as humans, we're communal. And I think we've gotten away from that. And, you know, over the past couple of years, it's been like, oh, we really do need to get back to the spaces that really fill us. And, you know, those are our communities.
I love it. Marissa, I'm so honored to not only be a part of your community, but of you now officially a part of the Teach Better family. We joke that once you're on the Daily Drop-In, your family, whether you want to be or not. And we always joke that while there's so many different avenues for the Teach Better community to collaborate, whether people choose to be an ambassador or a guest blogger, maybe they're part of our speakers network or they're part of our podcast network. Regardless, we love bringing new people in. And so whether it's our podcast network with all those incredible podcasts that are bringing new people into the Teach Better family that you guys can go check out, by the way, at teachbetter.com/podcasts. We also talk about how Daily Drop-In is a beautiful opportunity to continuously add new faces, add new friends to that community. So thank you, Riz. It's so, so fun being able to talk shop with you. And I
can't thank you. This has been an honor. Like, I am so happy to be connecting with the Teach Better family. And yeah, this has been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Ray.
Good. For everyone else, have a wonderful Thursday. It is December 2nd. You're about to have the best Thursday ever and you don't even know it yet. So go fill up your coffee, get amped up for the day, and we can't wait to hear how it goes. So keep us updated. We will see you back here tomorrow morning, unless you're participating in all the masterminds. Gosh, there's so many masterminds later this afternoon for our Teach Better community. But if you're not heading there, we will see you bright and early tomorrow morning, where we will conclude the week with the one and only Brad Hughes joining the show. So thank you so much, Riz. Thank you so much. We're going to stick right here. But for everyone else, we'll see you later.